Welcome to Natural Soul Conversations, a space where you are free to speak your mind, speak your peace, weigh in on what's going on in this world today. Every week we have a new conversation about what's going on in our communities, how it affects us, and how we can step in and make a change. Or maybe not, maybe we just want to talk our talk. Well, you have that freedom to do that right here at Natural Soul Conversations. All right. Come on in, take a seat. To another episode of Natural Soul Conversations. I'm your host, Dara Monique, and guess what time it is? Anybody can get it. That's Yay. Right. Yes, we have another episode of Anybody Can Get It, and I have my good friend here, Miss Kelly B. Miss Kelly B, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. What it do, people? What it do, crew?
What it do? What it do? All right. You know, I'm going to be very honest with you. Child, today has been a day.
Hey. Yes, it has. Yes, Woo. It has.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? I have a feeling that this conversation is going to do a lot to lessen the load that has been placed on me earlier today. I don't know about you, but I'm hoping, I'm hoping that it's going to be full of jolly, lighthearted, but anybody can get it news.
I'm sure it is. Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, we got a fun, filled, action-packed show today. Everybody's going to be excited, Monique. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to say, everybody that's joining us, hello. You're here with us. We're just two aunties that just talk about what's going on. And on our tagline says, don't come for us. Because what do we do? We just chat it on up about what we think, right? And again, since this is what we think, these are our opinions. So these are our opinions. So we can say what we want to say. Don't come for us. And even if you do come for us, I have nothing to give you. How about that?
You know what? They sure ain't getting nothing from me because I am bone dry over here. Bone dry.
So we're going to let you know that right now. So we're getting ready to actually set it off. So, Monique, what you snacking on, drinking on? What's going on?
Well, so before we started tonight, I ended up having breakfast for dinner. I was like, what do I want to eat? And I didn't want to do any big cooking. I said, eggs and bacon and biscuits it is. So that's what I had. And then I'm snacking or drinking on a H2O because, well, you know, I need more water in my body. You know, I need the purity of the nature's nectar. Does that sound right?
Okay.
A little weird.
I'm gonna start out with pleading the fifth already. I see where this is going.
What's wrong with nature's nectar?
I mean, you know, to each his own, right? We can only use our imagination and fill in those blanks that's in our mind.
How about cool, refreshing drink? How about that?
I have something that's actually going to go with the theme. How about cooling water?
Okay. That sounds better. And it's more sanctified and sanctimonious. So, okay. I think it's going to work well. You see what my mind is saying? My mind is so far from sanctification.
You know, so here's the thing. I actually got to confess. Every time I have to confess when I come on this show, you know, I'm just, hey, it's going with the theme. Yeah. So what I was snacking on prior to this episode is six chocolate chip cookies and six tater tots.
Okay. What's up with the number six? All you needed was another item. You could have had 666.
Oh, no, not for this show. Oh, no. I got some water, though. Okay? I got some water that I'm going to throw on that. Yes, right? I'm going to throw it. Exactly. Oolin' water. Hey. Right. My water. Okay.
Well, tell us. Don't keep us in suspense. What are we talking about this week?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to tell you what we're talking about this week. We are talking about sanctuary shenanigans. Hallelujah. That is what we're getting ready to explore. But before we talk about our sanctuary shenanigans, Hermione, I want you to share with the audience your experience in the Dirty D. We got to go ahead and get this out of the way before we dip into the sanctuary shenanigans. You went to Detroit.
I did. Okay. So I have been planning to see Tamar Braxton at her last stop for the, let's see, what does she call it? She calls it the Love and War 10-year anniversary tour, I think.
Yes.
But and so she started out with like one day and she ended up with like 15 or 16 dates. I don't know. But Detroit was the last stop. And I was a little concerned because, you know, I am a Southern gal. I'm from sunny skies and 137 degree weather. I'm not used to 10 below or whatever. So I was a little apprehensive, but, you know, the plane ride was smooth. I hadn't been on a plane for like, I don't know, 10 years or whatever. Yeah, the plane ride was smooth. I was folded up. I was in Delta's comfort. Like right behind the first class. So the seat they're slightly larger, but not that much because I was folded up, I'm telling you.
Brown cow?
Didn't know that I needed to lose a few pounds. I found out on this trip. Everywhere I went, it reminded me, you got to lose some weight. You are too big. So, and nothing against other people. It's just I'm not meant to be this size. Okay. So I got to cut this down by half at least. Okay. So I go there. The plane ride is wonderful. I get there the day before the show. It was on a Saturday. I get there Friday morning. I was able to check in right away. The hotel was really nice, but you know, it had that hotel smell, you know. But it was nice. And I walked around. I was in a casino. There's a hotel in the casino. And this sound stage or auditorium where acts go to play. And so it's a lot of things to do. So, you know, I was walking around, went to the casino. It's actually two levels, huge. I'd never been in a place that large before, I don't think. I didn't know how to play any of the games. I had a certain amount that I wanted to play, like money that I wanted to play, and I wasn't going to play any more after that. But you know, Uber and Lyft are expensive.
So, yes, they are.
It cut into my budget, and I wasn't going into my money, okay, for nothing. So I cut my gambling dollar amount down by 40%, and I was okay with that. Or no, by 90%, and I was okay with that. And so I planned. It was and I played and I lost all of that money but 12 cents and that's okay. And so I was talking to my sister and I was like, yeah, Shantae Moore is going to be here tonight. I knew about it, but I'm not going to go. She's like, why not? You should go. So I ended up seeing Shantae Moore Friday night and then t- turning around and seeing Tamar Braxton Saturday night. And it was amazing. Both shows were awesome. They were different, but they were both awesome. And I'm so glad I had the experience. And my trip back was awesome. I got to sit first class. The meal was sucky, but the space.
You got to sit what? Oh, you don't roll over what you just said. You said first class. First class.
I was flying first class, baby. And it was nice. Listen, they do treat you differently. Like, you know how when you get a drink, right? They give you that little flimsy plastic cup, and they never give you the whole thing, right? Like, you get a water, they give you that little half, a little Dixie cup, and they don't even fill it all the way to the top, right? Well, you get actual glasses in first class.
No. What? Glasses?
Yeah, an actual glass to drink out of. You don't get...
Ew.
Yeah, you know, an actual silverware, you know, to eat with. The meals was not that great, but they tried. They tried, I ain't gonna lie. You know, nice little chocolate cake for dessert, and little piece of little chocolate candy on the side, you know, tried to make it all fancy schmancy, you know. But the best part, honestly, was the space. Like,
okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest. Whenever I have to fly somewhere, I'm just going to save up my ducats. I am going first class. It's just no,
okay.
There is, yeah. And I'm saying it's really, I don't care about the food or the drinks or anything like that. It's the space. Cause I want to be able to stretch my legs out. I don't want nobody's elbow touching mine. You know, I want to be able to recline back farther than the regular seats. And you can do all that in first class. So yeah. Yeah. So it was wonderful. The only bad thing about the trip is I overpacked my luggage, and I have a rolling case, but it's one of those old-fashioned ones that roll from the back, not on the side, on the side of you. You like, you have to pull it. And
oh
yeah, I actually drove myself to the airport and parked in one of the park and fly whatever, and so I parked in the wrong parking spot, parking lot. Yeah. Because I wasn't thinking what I should have done, but I should have parked at the one closest to the airport and just paid the money. No, I said, I'm going to park in the second one. This will be fine. They're both close to the airport. I'll just do that. Child, my back and my neck and my back were
my
jacked
neck.
Up.
My back.
My back. Mm. That's all I know. I don't know that nasty.
Hey, I was trying to get down, but my knees started cracking, so I had to sit back down.
That's right. I'm telling you, I made so many pit stops on the way to my car. Like, I couldn't go any further, and I had to stop. It was the worst part of the trip, but the trip itself was wonderful. So much so that I don't do concerts, but I'm thinking about doing another concert. Guess who's coming to town?
Who?
You never guess. Janet Jackson. So I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I saw her.
Oh, well, I haven't. So I think maybe I'll go. Because I think I've been bitten by the concert bug. Mm.
Okay. So, all right. Yeah. She's so good. She throws a good concert. You know, I know there's some stuff going around now, you know, on the internet about her. I know we haven't even got started on that subject, but
I know, but
Janet tickets are on sale right now, and I like Janet. Janet is the icon. I have to use that voice talking about Janet, and she is a fabulous performer. But there are some people that are upset because her tickets are noticeably high. Meet and greets are about $1,000, from what I've read. And so somebody was complaining, of course, you know, people, they just want stuff, right? They do. I'm like that too. And Tina, Beyonce's mom, actually liked one of the posts where someone was saying that, why is Janet charging more than Beyonce? Beyonce throws a 3-hour concert and Janet only gives an hour and a half, and she liked it. But she said it was by accident, you know, because... Mexico, yeah, she said it was by accident. Yeah, Mexico. That it wasn't, and she took her took the girls of, you know, Destiny Child to go see Janet back when they were 15 years old, and she would never do that. And I'm like, but the likes don't lie.
No, they don't.
Likes don't lie. You should have unliked it.
Because you can. Now, you know, you have some people that are real quick on that screenshot draw.
But, yeah, they are.
Yeah. So somebody could have taken a picture, but you can always say, oh, no, I accidentally, but you see, I took it off, you know, but to leave it, whatever. But, you know, I like Tina Knowles, so, you know, don't come for me. You know, I'm just being messy by saying messy. Don't come for me. But
she's a savage. Classy, yes, bougie, ratchet. Mm. Is it booty? I said booty.
Girl, I don't know.
Bougie.
Is it bougie?
Yes, bougie.
But I will say this. I did not check out the pricing for the meet and greets. I wouldn't do it anyway. I did do Tamar's meet and greet, but I, you know, it's, I only did it to support her as a business owner, as a small black female business owner, because she invested in herself. So that's why I did it. I would not go to a meet and greet normally. And I like Janet Jackson, but I'm not going to her meet and greet. No, thank you. And especially if it's whatever it is. No, I'm okay. I'm good. You know, and that's not to say she's not deserving of whatever price she put on there. I'm not going to do it. Now, her ticket prices are $59 for the bad seats, $159.
I'm there.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? So it's, I mean, and like, I'll probably do, if I go the 159, only because it's a little closer up. Yeah, it's a little closer up. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. The floor is over 1,500.
And I'm not going on the floor because me being height challenged, I'm not going to be sitting behind somebody and I can't see. Because let me tell you, when Tim's went to that award show with that big hat on, and the people behind her couldn't see. That's not happening with me. I need some height to help me be able to see. And I was going to say something about that meet and greet, because I went to a meet and greet before also. Really excited about the meet and greet. And let me tell you, it was a blessing. It's going with the theme of the show. It was an absolute blessing. Didn't have to pay for it. I was just in the right place at the right time and had on the right attire, because I had on the shirt with the Sister with Voices on there. Yes. SWV. Oh my gosh.
It's to WW. You believe me? That's all I got.
So then we went to the meet and greet, and I'm not for sure if this is your experience, but I'm going to share mine because, you know, when things are free, people don't value it. So we standing in line. I'm super excited because I love SWV, hands down. We went, and some people in line say they paid, I don't know, $300-$400. And I was like, okay, cool. You paid $300-$400. So I got in excited, got to take a picture with them. And they said, you can talk to them for a second. And then they said, you got to take the picture and move on. And I was like, what? Because if I had paid $300 or $400, we would have been sitting down somewhere. I would have had a table prepared in the presence of SWV.
Right.
And we're going to sup together for $300 and $400. I'm not just snipping a picture and moving on.
No. You know, Tamar's was it was like in and out. But you know, she was nice about it. Some people wanted to, you know, talk a little longer, and she was nice about it. I didn't want to be like everybody else. I didn't want to because I know she was running late for her show. So I just said, my mom said that I wasn't going to meet you, because she did say that. I didn't even tell her that I was going to the show. But I told my sister with her big blabbermouth, she told her that I was also doing a meet and greet. And my mom was like, well, they don't meet in person now. They just do virtual now. And so my sister told me, and I said, listen, this girl won't do a virtual. She, even during the pandemic, she wouldn't do, like, there were some acts that will still do, like, they would do, like, house concerts or virtual concerts. She wouldn't do one. She would definitely be in person. She's not going to be there. And so it was really just a flex. The whole trip was really a flex. I didn't have to go. I'd seen that show online, bootleg, 15 times, you know, or 14 times. But it was a flex. I took photos and I sent them to my sister and Miss Kelly B, like, the whole time, you know, and I was just flexing the whole time, you know. But it was fun. It was fun.
Okay, so, see, that was good. See, that's the segue that you have to let all of this go, because we're getting ready to talk about sanctuary shenanigans. And yes. We're covering a variety of topics, but I do want to do another disclaimer, because mm-hmm. I know some people are real serious, you know, when it comes to their walk. And here's the thing, we're not making a mockery of God. I'm throwing that out, because that's not coming from us. So don't come for us about that. We're not making a mockery about specific people. We're not doing any of that. We're just going off of the news. And when we talk about sanctuary shenanigans, we're talking about people that bring the shenanigans in the church, not the people that don't know probably any better and they're trying to get right. No, I'm talking about y'all who think y'all are right and doing stuff right, and you tearing folks down. So are you doing some shenanigans that you should know you should not be doing? Because there's a difference. I almost sound like I'm preaching, but can I get an amen? No. Amen. but here's the thing. Before we get started about that, because people do get upset, and we'll talk about that later. But then it's like, here's the deal, y'all. People that come to church that don't know, they're trying to figure things out. But just because you've been set apart, allegedly, that's my first allegedly for the day. You had a nerve to try to talk about people with short skirts, this, that, and the other. And you've been there. Some of you all are still there. So we're talking about the shenanigans that happen in church. So that is my disclaimer. It is fun. Don't come for us. Don't challenge me. Because really, you're going to be arguing by yourself. Okay?
You better tell them again.
Because, we not going to argue with you. No, all right? No. So
all you're going to do is put numbers on our on the podcast and allow people, draw people. So, talk about it. So we can get listenership, you know.
But that's
no,
true.
If you expect any back and forth, you're not gonna get it. Gonna get it.
Mm-mm. No, but we do ask for you to click that like, and then you can also share the podcast. Absolutely. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. So I had to get the disclaimer out of the way. So I think we'll go ahead and get started now. Okay. You know that we got everybody's attention. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the first item that's up that I thought we would talk about, Ermonique, is that your sit determines your quit. What we're talking about.
Help me out here. Help me out, because I'm lost somewhere. My sit. See, I thought you meant seat. I even changed it. So use my sit determine my quit?
Yes.
Okay, you got to break that down to me. Just break it down for me.
All right. Glad you asked. And listeners, since you tuning in, I'm going to talk to you about it too. So it's not seat, it's where you sit determines your quit. So what I want us to talk about is where your seating position is in the church says a lot about you. So some people don't even think about it.
Wait. If I sit way in the back, what that say about me?
Glad you asked. It seems like you sit in the back. Why do you sit in the back, Ermonique? So you can get out of church first?
So I could be last in, first out. That's why. Because I got new places to go, people to see.
You sound like how they shelve at Walmart when they put stuff on the shelf. They don't even arrange it right. That's what you sound like. I'm gonna sit the fresh stuff up last, and then somebody's gonna pull it out first.
Because I look at it like this. Actually, you know what? Honestly, when I haven't been to church in I don't know how many moons, but when I was going to church, I really did sit in the front ish. But these days, I'm not trying to listen. I've done the whole go to church at 9 and you're there until 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 10 o'clock at night. I've done that. I need a solid hour in and out. That's with the prayer, the worship, the message, the greets, coffee time, and exit, and tithing and exit. All that 1 hour. That's where I'm at these days.
I can't. Yeah. You sound like a whole like DoorDash order right now. Hey, that's all I heard.
Hey, listen, my time is. You know, I ain't got nothing to do. I just don't feel like being there all day anymore. I just don't.
That is the Lord's time,
Monique. You know what? I can have the Lord's time at home.
A friend of mine used to call it bedside Baptist.
I don't see nothing wrong with it. I don't see nothing wrong with it. And now, I mean, you know what? I would do it if I could do it virtually. You know, I'll see y'all when I get home. I'm going to go ahead and zoom on in. Now, I'll do that. Me hanging out there, you know, no. I don't have it like that.
It's fellowshipping, not hanging.
I can fellowship online. We're in a virtual world. I can do that online, child.
Do you talk to people online?
Am I talking
in the chat? In the chat at church.
I don't go to church.
Tell me you can go virtual and you not sitting up there chatting with anybody. You're not fellowshipping.
Virtually.
Do you say hello? Greetings. Good morning. Amen.
You could.
Prayer hands.
S-S-T-D-J. She had a whole church time during the pandemic, and they were doing it virtually. There were a few people in the sanctuary, but they had church online.
Did you attend?
Not as a member, because I'm not a member, but I would go. I would see, visit, you know, watch it like I would any other online church, but I'm not a member of the Potter House.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
We can fellowship virtually, but we don't say hello in the chat. All right.
I would say hello in the chat. I would.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I knew everybody, I would. I don't know. You ain't getting it. No, I mean, girl, get on with the story. I take it somewhere else.
All right, we're going back to where you said determines your quit.
Yes.
So seating positions are very important in church. And some of the things that you were sharing, which we were really just having fun, because I know somebody's probably right now, I'm going to get them on this. You know, you're the front, middle, and back part of the church. And it's like where you sit actually determines how much you're going to quit your way, your sinful ways, and get your life together. At least that's how some people think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really? Okay.
Yeah. Some people actually believe where a person sits at church has to do with the following. So one, it shows their relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Two, it shows their relationship with other worshipers. And three, it shows their relationship with the preacher.
Okay. wait, what kind of relationship are we talking about?
You know, just connection, not the scandalous type.
Okay, because I thought you meant it to be very platonic until, I don't know, it went somewhere else in my mind to me, and then it was like, wait a minute.
Okay, so we really need to stay in this topic then. Okay, we may have to do a part. First, nectar, and now relationships.
There's nothing wrong with that. The word nectar is, there's nothing. It's y'all's dirty mind. Okay, go ahead.
So now you're going to take it out on the audience. Because you said nectar.
There's nothing wrong. That's a perfectly okay word. it's a decent word. Just y'all. Dirty mouth.
Okay. Don't attack the audience because they didn't say it. You said it.
Yeah, but like nectarine, that's like, is there something wrong with that?
And there's nothing wrong with the nectarine. Okay? Nothing.
And nectar is a sugar-rich liquid produced by plants and glands called nectaries, or nectarines.
Okay. All right.
Now,
I never knew that was the plural. You know, because nectarines just sound plural and singular.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, nectarine.
As I was saying about where you sit in the church, yeah, this is our general opening and we can't get past it.
I know.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
Back on the track. All right.
All right. So people that sit in front of the church. Uh-huh. A lot of people prefer to sit up there, and this was surprising to me because I had other reasons I thought people sit up in front of the church, but they sit there because they don't want to be easily distracted by those that come to church late, mm-hmm. like our Monique, I mean, mm-hmm. sorry, and those that leave early. Mm-hmm. Sitting up front is usually a sign of eagerness, excitement, and wanting to be an inaugural part of the service. Yeah, people who sit near the front can hear clearly every word that comes out of the mouth of the preacher. They hear more.
It's like school. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, but you had no choice in school, some people.
No, because I was in college, I purposely sat up front because them kids in the back, I was paying for my school and I couldn't afford to sit in the back. I had to sit up front.
All right, so I need to put a pen and we're going to come back to this story. So you'll go to school and sit up front.
But see,
but at church, you sit in the back because you pay?
No, because I told you, I said I used to do all that, sit up front. I'm done with all that. I can't do that because I did that. I would sit way up front. I was, if I wasn't part of the worship team, I was doing the sound for the worship team. I was running video. I'm telling you, I was involved.
Okay.
I was involved. And I'm tired. I know it's been 10 years. I'm tired. I'm taking a break.
Sorry, we had to. The eagerness and the excitement, see? People that sit up front. Audience, see what I'm talking about? No one? Mm-hmm. Okay. So they sit up in the front because they want to minimize the distractions, especially for those around them. Because usually people that sit in the front, they're straight ahead. You don't even see them having a conversation. Nope. Have you ever noticed like when they're filming and you look at the people up front? I mean, they just attentive.
That's right. Because they don't want the pastor to call them out, especially if you got a black pastor or one of them country white pastors. They don't care. They don't play. That's why they sit up straight. they're hiding in plain sight. They do not want to be called on. That's what that is. They don't want no attention drawn to them. I know.
That's true. And they sitting up front and they're able to hear the message and they're able to take that message in. So, amen for those that sit up front.
Amen.
Middle of the church. Woohoo! That's me. I'm in the middle. Boom. Those that sit in the middle are those who just like to blend in, right? I don't need the hoorahs in the front and I don't need the shenanigans in the back. So they don't want to sit up front because they don't want to sit up front, I should say, and they don't want to sit in the back. You just want to be in the middle, right?
Right.
People that sit in the middle, they're just your average churchgoers. I'm just here. I don't need to be seen. And so this is what I was going to say. So y'all don't come for me. I have the biggest thought that people that sit up front want to be seen, want to be heard, those that are not serving, because every time I go to church, I see the same people up front and they get their seats reserved for them. You know, what? If I get to church a little late, a lot of late, it's almost like I don't want to say going to church is a punishment, but it's almost like a punishment because there's always these little spots up front and they'll take you way up front. And now I'm sitting here with the attentive people.
And they will do that. They will do that. Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. Mm-hmm. It is a punishment, I think. They're drawing attention to you, like, see, this is what will happen to you if you get here late.
Yes. So, yeah. And now I got to, you know, look straight ahead and sing on cue and everything else, right? I like being the average church goer, you know, because sometimes when I go, you know, sometimes I be just so focused that my eyes just get heavy and heavy.
So you want to be able to, I'm not going to say take a nap, but you want to be able to view the goings on of the church behind your eyelids.
Behind my eyelids, yes. Mm-hmm. And you know what I was getting ready to say with the taking the nap? It's like I don't take the opportunity. It like it comes to me.
Oh, okay. Okay. It overtakes you.
It overtakes me. And next thing you know, I have missed. Entire sentence or section of church. Let me tell you, nothing is more scarier than you don't know if you have snored. You don't know what has happened. If they are praying, y'all don't come for me. This hasn't happened to me. But if they're praying and next thing you know, you're waking up and they doing the announcements, Lord, did I snore? Did anybody around me hear? And then I'm looking around like, what happened? How long was I asleep? Oh, y'all, it'd be bad. But so that's your average church goer. Now, those that's in the back of the church.
My people.
Shame.
What we do?
People who sit in the back of the church are considered spectators. You are a spectator rather than energetic participants in the worship experience.
I don't know about that. Because people in the back, they be dancing and stuff. So at least the
They be dancing in the back. Sometimes you do need that space, though.
Yeah.
And you can't be dancing up front because somebody's just going to look at you and you may be cutting the rug a little too much, okay?
A little too worldly, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know what? There are some good reasons, even though we poke on people in the back. There are some good reasons that people sit in the back. They may have a fidgety baby. It's funny that they call it fidgety. They may have a hollering baby. You trying to listen and hear it.
And we don't want that up front. We don't want that up front. You need to have close to the back. Where you can get out. Yeah.
Let me tell you, them ushers will move at the speed of light if that baby cry too long, and they gonna usher you up out of that church with them babies. And babies be funny because they be sitting there, meh! And then when the parent get up, they just
They do that on purpose. Look, they know what they doing. Don't think they don't.
Yeah, they know how to get out, right? So then they don't want to, they lead, you know, out with the babies because they don't want to disturb the other worshipers. And some people may actually have bladder problems.
Yeah.
And they want to sit where they can slip out quietly if they have to.
I was going to say that was my problem, but that's not about to tell a lie. No.
not on this episode.
No.
I'll ask you again and you can just make that story how you want to make it, but here, no,
I'm not gonna lie. That's not why I sat in the back. That's not why.
And some people sit in the back when they arrive late. You know, they sit there because they don't want to disturb too many people by their late arrival.
You know, there's another reason why people sit in the back.
And why is that?
Well, this is something that I found out recently. And don't laugh. This is a serious thing. If you have someone who is you know, larger. There may be a lot of more space in the back. You know what I mean? And so, you know, they're not folded up and, you know, all close to people, you know. It's just more comfortable if you're on a row that's you know, half full, and that's usually in the back, as opposed to up front or even in the middle where it tends to be more full.
That's true. And that's a good reason. So now here's the next part. So we talked about the seating. So now we've determined front, middle, and back. Mm-hmm. Here's where I get challenged. Why do people sit in the same seats? Some people want to sit in the same section of the church, the same seat, right? I mean, this, you got to plan this out on your way to church. You got to pick out your outfit, figure out what you're going to wear, get to church in time. I got to figure out what side of the church I want to sit on, where I want to sit, whose seat I want to sit in. I like to sit over here. You know, it's a whole thing.
Right.
And they talk about, like, people, we are actually creatures of habit. So some people, they said, will wear the same whatever clothes, the same choir robes, the same shirts. If they serve, you know, they have serving shirts now. They'll wear the same thing. And they'll wear the same broken-in shoes, right? Because they're comfortable. And it keeps them comfortable.
Yeah.
A lot of people do this in church because they want to feel safe and secure. That's why you see some people occupying the same seat Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and you can't sit in that seat. And it's always a good seat too.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not a part of the what I'm, you know, sharing. That's me.
But it's true though. It's true. And it even happens. I had told you a little story, what, last week about the choir. I mean, there was about to be a holy war in the choir because this one lady said, I am so serious. She sat in the front, and this was my first time in the choir, first time at that choir even, or in that choir. And they were, this black lady, well, it was a mixed church, but this lady happened to be black. And she sat down in the front row. And the other lady, you're not supposed to sit there. You need to get up and sit in the next row. And there were nobody sitting. Well, that's sudden such seat. You can't be sitting there. They were about to, and I'm telling you, that girl, the black chick, she wouldn't let it go. But then again, I get it because she didn't say reserve. You know, I mean, how was anybody supposed to know? Firstly, secondly, what you mean I can't see and sit in this row? Now, in the choir, maybe that's where the choir leaders or the worship leaders, where they sit. But how would you know unless that was communicated to you? And that wasn't communicated. Girl, I'm telling you, they're about to have a war in there over them doggone seats. I almost quit the choir because of that. Because I wasn't a new Christian, but I was newly back to the church. You know,
okay.
And so I had an idea of how church folks were supposed to act. I know better now. But then I felt that they were supposed to act a certain way. And this type of attitude that they were having, you know, this was like in the streets. I mean, it was that raunchy. And I'm like, what?
Jeez.
And I was like, I don't know if I want to be a part of this. And luckily, listen. I know the Lord, okay? If I didn't know the Lord, like if I was a baby Christian, that and some other incidents in the church would have caused me to reevaluate my walk with the Lord on a very serious note. But anyway, I didn't mean to make it serious.
Okay.
Yeah, I them seats are serious. They serious.
They're very serious. I know, like, I like to sit near the end, but you know, those are the popular seats, right? I do not like sitting smack dab in the middle of any rows because we always do this thing at church where you can just get out and greet the visitors. And, but then you in the middle, you stuck. You are stuck. You can't move and you turning around like, I'll go forward. I'll look backwards, but nobody moves. And if you got somebody that's sitting down by you that seem like they've been just sucking on some lemon drops and they thou shall not be moved, they sitting there, they not greeting you like, how you doing? They're not saying anything. You just got to say a quick prayer for them and you just got to keep twirling in a circle because you can't get out. I'm trapped. Right. I would like to get over there and say something to Sister So-and-so, but I can't get out.
hey, that's where you have to just yell over the crest. I try to get to you, but I don't know. But how you doing, Sister Mary Clarence? I can't get to you right now, but meet me after service, okay? So you might have to do something like that.
I just throw my hand up and just swirl it around like I'm on one of them 360 things that people take pictures on. I just want to tell everybody hello. Hello.
Okay, I gotta ask. Did you see the little clip that I sent you? You didn't see it, and I said that you will. If you laugh, you will go to H E double.
I did see him. I did see the clips. Yes, I did.
But the one about our favorite pastor you saw. Anyway, I'm like, okay, all right. So, Ian, I like to sit on the end because, listen, if I got to get up, I want to be able to get up. I don't want to have to be in the middle having, excuse me. Oh, I'm so sorry. Excuse me. I don't want to be able to get all that. You know what I mean?
I'll be stepping on them toes. Yeah. I'll tell you what. Yeah, if I got a pet.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, excuse me. Oh, I'm so sorry. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Oh, I said, it's too much. That's what happened to me in Detroit. I thought I bought a seat the lady put me in the middle. She put me in the middle when I bought my seat. And the girl on the left of me started coughing. And then the girl on the right of me started coughing. And I said, not on my watch. No, ma'am. I got up. Excuse me. Oh, sorry. Oh, excuse me. I'm so sorry. Excuse me. And I had that lady. I said, listen, you're going to have to sit me somewhere else. I know my seat says F2240 of Sue D, whatever. But I can't sit there. They coughing and going on. No, I can't. I said, let me sit way up in the back in that row right there. There's nobody there. She goes, but you're not going to be able to see. There are screens everywhere. I'll be able to see. But you won't be able to see the stage. I don't need to see the stage. I'd rather not see the stage and be and stay healthy than to see the stage and get the rhino, whatever they got going on. That's okay. No, thank you. So, that's why I like the end. That's why I like the end. Go ahead.
Ooh, that really, you just really just cracked me up because, I mean, if I got to pass by people, I'm like, I'm going to do this and I'm not going to have any casualties. And next thing you know, I'm like getting by. And then I hit, oh, sorry, crunch, crunch. It's like I've been crushing their toes. And I'm trying to get to the end. And I'm like, Lord, if I can just get to the end of this row, it's like a journey.
And then, you know, for big girls like me, like I told you, this trip was an eye-opener for me. Everything on my body's big. And I'm like, my butt might be in their face. I mean, I watched it, but it might be in their face. I mean, ain't nothing I can do about it. I got to get out. I mean, listen, if you don't move your face, then that's just on you.
That's on you, because I'm crushing toes, I'm not paying attention.
And smothering folks, that's what's going on.
Yeah, this is bad. Ooh, this is bad.
And then, listen, I had a feeling that my butt was in somebody's face, so I tried to, like, scooch up. But I'm way up on the, you know, in these, you know, these like bleacher seats or whatever. And I tipped over. I was like, wait a minute. I'm going to go over the seat or my butt going in somebody's face. I think I'm going to put my butt in that person's face.
Somebody's getting a face full of butt. Yes.
Facial. That's what's going on.
I feel so bad, too. Because I know I'm crushing people's toes when I have to get up, because they always seem to set me in the middle. But let me tell you something. If I'm sitting close to the end and somebody's passing by me, I'm hot. I'm mad. Mad.
Oh, yeah.
They
oh,
come
yeah.
by, excuse me. I'm like, ugh.
You know, right? See, and that's the main reason why I don't go, see, I don't go to the movie theaters. Because I'm telling you, I'm always in the row with somebody. You understand they get up one time and then they do have to come back. You understand that. But all throughout the movie, excuse me, I'm so sorry, excuse me. Oh, I'm so sorry.
He's like, sit down.
I know. I mean, 5-10 times, listen, if you got to go to the bathroom that many times, you don't need to be here. Either you need to sit on the end, or you need to stay home, or you need to wear a Depend diaper or something. Because this is crazy. This is crazy. And I'm not, listen, there are people that have bladder problems, and you know, when we get older, you know, our bladder be, you know, we be holding on for dear life. So I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just saying, when you know you got an issue and you have to keep going back and forth to the restroom, why are you going to sit in the middle? You know what I mean? You know what you got to do. You know your body better than we do. You know what's up. Sit on the end.
Sit on the end.
Child.
A lot of people don't like you, you know, interrupting them. And that seems like that's me, you know, even though I interrupt and crush toes and everything else, which is segueing us into our next story, which I think is pretty cool.
What?
This is more funny than I thought. Okay. I'm going to call it the Sanctified Punch. So there was this video, you remember earlier this week that me and you saw this video, I think you either forwarded to me or forwarded to you about this lady was having this, I guess, prayer meeting, and everybody was praying, and her son was, I don't know what he was doing. He's a teenage son. I don't know if he was playing around. I'm not for sure what was going on. But she was praying, and I mean, her eyes was closed, and he looked like he was twirling. Next thing I know, and she didn't miss a beat in her prayer. I know that prayer went up.
What was so funny about it is that you had people, old people, they turned around like, oh, and they was even mad. See, I would have laughed, but then again, she might have gone, just went down the line, just slapping.
Slapping everybody.
Mm-hmm. But that dude was an older dude. Like, he was tall. Like, he had to have been a teenager, late teens, early.
Yes.
And she punched, she knocked him silly. His mouth was open for a good, the whole clip.
Mine was too. But I tell you what, watching that, it took me back.
Yes,
when I used to go to church with my mama. Okay, let me. Ooh. So I used to be sitting in church, and like I said, I get, you know, just moved by what's going on, and next thing I know, my eyes are closed, right? And I'm just sitting there with my eyes closed for no good reason, because it's not like I'm swept in the presence. I am just out of there asleep.
So that's
been
a long time, huh?
Yeah, it's a long time. Long time. And then but the difference is when I was younger, I would be like, I want to be asleep. And next thing you know, I had the sharpest elbow in my rib cage. And then I wake up real quick and I look to the side because you startle. Because when I'm young, I'm getting good sleep.
Yeah. Oh,
and I'm startled, like, what woke me up from my sleep in church? And I look, and my mama was mean mugging me. Mm-hmm. Like, why is she paying attention? She should have been paying attention. She looking at me.
Yeah. Yeah, because you doing wrong. Your eyes just ain't supposed to be open. And you might have even snored a little bit. You don't know. And so, yeah.
I don't know. Or I'd be, you know, wiggling in church. Because, you know, when I was little, you know, I get the wiggling and moving around and squirming. You know, you had your paper. They used to let you draw on the church bulletins with their pen. And you'd be moving around. And next time, another elbow. And I'm like, oh. And you got to hold it in. They be knocking the wind out of you.
Now, luckily, I never got beat down in church. But when I got home, it was a different story. We were afraid. When I got home, but we really didn't act up too much in church. I have to ask my mama because I don't know. I might have blacked out on some of it. I don't know. But I don't recall. I don't recall acting up in church. But I've seen friends and others acting up and got put down. Well, I don't mean put down, but I mean they were
put down. You get put down in church.
Well, they got set down like on last episodes, but they were definitely corrected. In a very strong-handed way. You know, we could do that back then. And I remember when I was taking my nephews to church, they were kids. I never beat them down in front of anybody or even at home in private. But
Child Protective Services, that's just the term that was used.
Yes. I never corrected them, let's put it that way. I never corrected them or scolded them harshly in front of other people. I don't think. Because you never know. A lot has happened between now and then, child. I mean, then and now. I mean, you know, we're talking about 20-some-odd years, but I do remember one time when there was they had food for all, you know, we went to something at church, and they had food sitting out. And, you know, I let my nephews go and get, it may have been donuts or something like that. And they got a donut. That's cool. They got a second one. Okay. But then they went to get a third one. And I'm like, okay, hold up. No. You know, and it was more so when I think about it, it was more so because I didn't want them to embarrass me. Because it's like it was like they acting as though they had no type of training, you know, like.
Yeah.
Considerate of other folks, no. And so I did. I was like, no, that's enough. And it made such an impression on them. I didn't scream at them because we were in church, but it made such an impression on them. They are 30 years old, 30 and 30 something years old today. Do you know they still remember? Wait, you had two. I mean, weren't you mad because I didn't let y'all just sit there and eat up all them people donuts and nobody else could get a donut?
Right.
That was the worst thing to say. She wouldn't let us have no donuts.
I love it.
That's how I scarred them. Because
wow.
I wouldn't let them have donuts.
Behind the donut.
Child, go sit down somewhere. Anyway. Okay.
Tell your nephew that they are blessed. I'm gonna say blessed on this show because I remember with my mama, and I have a lot of stories with my mama. My dad, you know, was there too, but I used to go places with my mom because she used to share a lot of information with her friends. And I used to love to listen to the information that she shares with her friends.
Intel. You were getting intel. Okay.
Yeah. And so when you said about them donuts that you don't want the people to think that you hungry, my mama used to say before we leave the house, don't you go over to so-and-so house asking to eat anything, even if they offer you. Because I don't want people to think I don't feed you. And I used to say, they know you feed me. I'm a big girl. They know I feed you. They know I eat at home. And so we go over there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's sitting there and her friend's cooking like big plates of lasagna. That cheese is. Y'all, I got to. One day I'm going to tell a story about the pork chop. Uh-oh. But,
That sounds like a good story.
The lasagna, I mean, looking at that cheese is bubbling. And, you know, I sometimes, through the cheese, it's like the little grease holes and the grease, a little bit of grease is kind of like percolating through it. Because it's so saucy and greasy and it's just smoking. And it was just calling my name, Kelly. And then my mom's friend would say, hey, would you like some lasagna? And I look at my mama and she's looking at me with these death rays coming out of her eyes. And I'm like, my mouth is watering, my eyes is watering, because I just want to say yes. I want to say yes. But I look at my mom, and then my mom did the trick. If you want something, go ahead and let her know. That's the trick, right? And then I'd look back at her, at the lady, like, help me. Help me. I want to eat. Help. And then I look at my mom again, and she's like, well, go ahead. If you want it, you can go ahead and eat. And then her friend, I don't pay attention to her. You can go ahead and eat. She not going to do nothing.
In front of you, she not.
And I just look and I say, no. And my stomach was in the back. Like we said, those people at the Color Purple on the last episode, my stomach was in my back. I didn't even eat. And I just sat there. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. There was a couple of times we would go over there. Same scenario. I'm not going to go through it again. And sometimes, like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and go for it, because that food was looking good. And I would say, yes. I paid for that. I paid for that. Yes. I could go ahead and tell a pork chop story if you want me to.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I used to love to eat, everybody. When I was younger, I was actually... Consider, you remember that's when we had big kids and little kids. I know everybody's like, we're all the shame and don't make fun body shaming. When we was growing up, you was a big kid or you that's was right. a skinny kid.
Right.
I was a big one. I was taller than the boys and I was wider than the boys, because boys were, it seemed like a lot of the boys were scrawny in school. That's the funny thing.
Yeah.
So I wasn't big just for any reason. I mean, I would eat. And like I told y'all before, my mama didn't want me making her look bad eating at people's house. So sometimes I would say yes and I would pay for it. And other times I would say no. And my stomach was stuck in the back. Well, I was over at a family member's house. And the family member was cooking some pork chops, frying them. Mm-hmm. Oh, that smelled good. And I know you don't like pork chops now, but pork chops smell.
No. I didn't say I didn't like them. I just don't eat pork. But now that the smell, if somebody really want to turn me, put pork chop smell and neck bone smell. that might turn me. It might. Yeah.
So the family member was cooking. Mm-hmm. And they was frying, and the pork chops back then, and some people don't like the fat on the pork chops, but it was just, it had a perfect, thank you. See what I'm saying? And it was just crunchy and everything else, and the family member was like, do you want to eat? Voice of my mama, you better not eat. You know, I don't want these people to think I don't feed you. No. And she said, okay, you sure? I said, sure. So she cooked for the family, and I sat there again with my stomach in my back until she left the room. She went to go do something. Irma, don't judge me. Don't judge me.
I'm judging you.
Wow. Audience, don't judge me. I didn't eat the pork chop, but before I knew it, I ate all the fat.
What?
From around them pork chops.
What? Wait, that's worse than what I thought. Oh my God. What? Wait a minute. Was it just around one or all of them?
Oh
my God.
And set it back on the plate.
You
all
got
of them. Down.
You got a beating, didn't you?
Well, the family member came out like, who did this? I sat there, didn't say a word. And she thought that the other, my cousins, did it. And they got tore up for it.
Oh my God.
And it's nasty, because how about I ate the fat off and put every last one in pork chop back on that plate?
You're nasty.
Yeah.
How old were you? But you were what, 6, 7, 8? If you say 13,
I probably was 11 or 12.
Girl, okay, now you know better. Girl. Oh my God. Y'all
Ooh.
judge it. Judge it.
No, I'm just talking about this on this show. I'm pouring all of my past transgressions out. I ate the fat from all of those pork chops and set the pork chops back on the plate, and my cousins got in trouble for that. And I think they had to eat the pork chops.
Oh. Oh, man.
Oh, oh God.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Child, you okay? I don't even, you know what? Don't even know what else to say other than what's going on with Kirk and his sport? What's up with that? Because I
All
can't eat
right.
pork chops. They done dumb me in. I mean,
You say if you smell the pork chop grease in
I
the
see now I got a whole new perspective on it now. Somebody eat the fat.
So when I come back into town, we can just go out to eat. I promise I won't eat off your plate. All right, so
Because there won't be any pork chops on there. I have anything to worry about. I'm safe. I mean, but I do
Mark
have a little
Faith.
dog. No, I do have a little dog named Pork Chop, so I guess I'm gonna have to hide him because I don't know it.
The rate I'm going on. All right. So we're moving on about Kirk Franklin allegedly twerks that work.
Lord have mercy.
So Kirk Franklin is facing backlash for inappropriate dancing on stage in a resurfaced clip. So, Kirk Franklin, I was so honored because last year I got to see Kirk Franklin in concert at the reunion tour, and it was a blast to be there. I mean, I was up on my feet like the entire time. I had on these shoes, my feet was hurting, but I just could not sit down because it was so fabulous. But at one of the performances, Kirk, if you see Kirk, he dances and oh, the people say,
We don't do that.
and so, and that concert was moving. And I mean, Tamela Mann was there, David Mann, it was Israel Houghton, it was just a whole bunch of people, and it was a blessing. And the Clark sisters was there too. What I liked about this concert is that they would actually come and sing out on each other's sets. Usually people keep it separate, but they were singing on each other's sets. And I mean, because everybody was dancing, moving, praising, and all of that stuff. Well, the Clark sisters was actually out singing on Ty Tribbett's set. And so Kirk came out there dancing. You know how Kirk Franklin is. I want people to say, hey, stop. Hey. All right. So now behold the lamb.
I see him moving in my mind, but go ahead.
So he was moving, bouncing all over the place. And the next thing you know, it appears, and this is according to this article that I'm reading, that he was doing the butt. That dance on one of the Clark sisters. And some people, of course, got upset. Every show I talk about, there's the internet that we all use, that we know and we love, and has it's expanded and caused us to get connected to different things. And then there's the internet, who's going to speak out on things. So the internet was actually split over the display that that Kirk Franklin did on the Clark sisters, and they found that to be inappropriate. Some people on Instagram was like, here's some of the comments. Nothing to see here. Just a soul out gospel artist and pastor, old dirty Kirk Franklin, twerking on another gospel artist representing Christ Jesus. Let's see. Satan has his hands across the board in music. Don't ever get it twisted. Kirk don't want to let go of his youth. Somebody else said, this is not the gospel. And then one person said, Kirk acting like he's at a Diddy TD Jakes party.
Oh, now wait a minute.
I know. Try.
Y'all leave Mr. Oh, excuse me. Bishop Jakes alone. Leave him alone. It's alleged. Yeah. Alleged.
Alleged, right? Mm-hmm. And then somebody else said, added, what sad is that? He's married. If the tables were turned, don't think he would have liked his wife doing what he did to another man. So, you know, some people took up for Kirk. You know, they said we are not to judge. You know, they're just having fun while they worship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kirk Franklin over the years have faced lots of backlash. You know, I know it's something that he's probably used to. You know, he just gets out there and have fun while he's having fun.
Yeah.
I wanted us to talk about this because how do you feel about that? Like if somebody like Kirk Franklin is just, you know, out there having fun. We know his character and we know how he's just energetic and everything. I mean, do you think it's inappropriate if he was kind of dancing in front of another group?
So this is, I'm going to get serious for just a moment. I think that it depends on the music. I don't think that all gospel music is holy music or holy. Mm-hmm. And so with that frame of mind, you know, he might, you know, because I think they're all friends, you know?
Yes.
And so if he was standing behind her doing that, that would be a little different in my opinion. But he was in front of her. He had his butt, you know, doing the butt or twer- I don't know what, which he was doing. But then that raises another issue because how much, you know, supposedly being sanctified, and I'm saying this, you know, for any Christian, supposedly to be sanctified and set apart, and especially when you are supposedly perform or ushering in worship or helping people to worship and praise the Lord, I don't know that the world is supposed to seep in at that time. And I do believe that the world did seep in and, you know, I mean, it was all fun, but holy is holy. You know what I mean? And, you know, there's a time to be in reverence to the Lord, you know, and then there's a time to, you know, to laugh and ha ha and kiki, you know. But not being at that concert, I don't know, and not even knowing the structure, I don't know, you know, I don't know. But I will tell you this, I rarely ever listen to Christian music or gospel music because to me, especially the beat, what it does to me is so worldly, a lot of it that I listen to, that it might be saying God, but the beat is doing something else. So my body and my soul is resonating with that beat. What's going on with that beat? Okay, and that's for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't. It doesn't. It's not holy to me. There are some songs that are truly holy, and I don't feel or I don't have the. My soul is not in the same place when I listen to these two different types of spiritual songs. And I use spiritual loosely because, yeah, and this is why I don't like to, when people take secular songs and try to remake them into gospel music, because there is a spirit behind all of this stuff. You know, there's intention behind all of this. And I'm talking as someone who listens to secular music. And I'm saying that there are spirits that are attached to these songs, and I don't see how you could take those secular songs and make them holy. It's like taking you know, a what was the saying in the Bible? Taking a sow and putting a pearl on a swine or something like that. It's like taking something that's spotted and trying to make it clean and holy and presentable to the Lord. That just doesn't work. And I think that's where the mindset is with some of the comments towards hurt, not knowing, you know, maybe how the show is structured, because maybe there is a time when, okay, we're not worshiping and this is not holy. We're not trying to do that at this moment. We're just people who happen to be Christians that are coming together and we're just having a good time. I can get with that. And then I can get with the booty bumping and all that. And, you know, I can get with that. But if this is something that was supposed to be the entire show, is supposed to be worshiping and praising God, that's a holy thing. And it needs to be, in my opinion, treated that way. It needs to be approached with that type of fear and reverence. That's how I feel about it.
Wow. I'm so like almost opposite of you. I'm like the Kirk Franklin hype. I am. Mm-hmm. I'm just a really hyped up person. Mm-hmm. And that has always been like, I think this has been a gray area. Like some of the things that you were talking about, because, you know, some of the music, you know, does sound like a certain way. And some people are like, you know, that doesn't sound right. You know, it sounds too much like secular music and everybody split on it. But I like it because it was a game changer for me. Like I actually mm-hmm. listen to Christian rap. I listen to Christian music. I listen to gospel. I listen to 90s R&B because I don't listen to any of that stuff that's out now because I don't understand. Yeah. I don't even know what they're saying. And everybody auto-tune and can't sing for real anymore. Sorry, right. Don't come for me, but that's the truth. Y'all, I'm like, y'all, because I can't. Walk in the room. You know, I don't know that stuff.
Right.
But I like the hype. I like being able to praise. But what I will say, it does take a lot, because sometimes you can get into that music and stuff, and if you don't have all of the world out of you, because there were times where I was taking Zumba classes and teaching Zumba classes, and then I would actually go to church, and then the music be all hyped, and everybody's jumping around, Lecrae is playing. Next thing I know, I'm busting Zumba moves. I'm jumping up and doing all this, look like I'm doing the stanky leg and stuff like that. And I know that's coming. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But, you know, I would do that. And I have to say, I got to calm this down. But I get real hyped up. And sometimes I just think it's people's preference on how they want to praise, you know. Even though where I'm at, I in my walk, I can say that I'm doing it in reverence of. Even though it may seem super hype, super whatever. But you're right. If somebody is just there to hang out and they're getting moved by the music, they may be, hey, you know, doing these dances. But my prayer is that they're actually, you know, picking it up, and this may encourage them, and this may segue them into where they'll listen to music with fear and, reverence, whether it's slower music or faster music. I know my former bishop at the church, he actually gave a sermon about there's some people that are praisers and some people that are worshipers. And I liked how he split it up, because there's some people that like the, you know, the worship music. I used to say the slow music. That's what I used to call it. And when I was younger, I would go to sleep. I said, oh, it's time to go to sleep. Because I was more of a praiser, and that's the hype music. That's what, you know, brings us in and ushers in the spirit. That's when I am hyped and I'm up. I jump around. Even in my 50s, I'm jumping around. I know my knees, they be paying for it. You know, I love it though, but then I'm at a place now, and I was glad because worship used to mean sleep, like I said, but now I'm actually able to, you know, worship that. And I really have to give credit to me being that praiser and me allowing myself to bask in that experience. And I think that opened the way for me to move into the worship sector also. But now, but like we said, it to each his own. And I know that people do have their comments about Kirk Franklin and about other people too, because there are some churches that will not play Kirk Franklin's music, which is interesting. They won't play Ty Tribbett's music, which is very interesting. But, you know, I'm like, to each his own. I think we are all wired differently and we all praise and worship differently.
Yeah, you know, I think mine was, I came in on the praise end because of the music, you know. And now I can tell you, I only like truly only like real high worship. Real like and it's funny because it comes like a, some of it is some of those old hymns, which I don't recall ever growing up. I mean, I went to church, but I don't remember ever singing those songs. But I remember when there was a transition that happened, and all of a sudden, I wanted to get this hymnal. I'm still going to learn some of those songs out of it. But, you know, it was these songs that were written back in 18-something-something, like In Christ Alone. It doesn't matter. Anytime that song comes on, it almost doesn't matter who sings it or what group sings it. It's I'm on the floor because it's just so powerful. The words are so powerful. I also, you know, want to be careful that we're not getting into like a religious spirit, you know, because I could see that happening. And that's why I say we don't, you know, not being at that show, not knowing how it was structured. You know, because there could have been a time when, you know, they were like, okay, you know, we as Christians, because we can have fun too. You know
how we can.
And so, you know, and they are friends. And so, you know, it could have been something like that. I don't know. You know, without knowing all the facts, I don't really have a definite judgment on it or opinion other than, for me, I love really, really high worship, and I'm not really fond of, now, you know, Stomp still gets me, you know, there's another song by Israel Halton. You know, there are a few songs that are, you know, praise songs for real. And, you know, and I'm with it, but for the most part, it's high worship. You know, where people are just, you know, falling on, you know, when they'll take that one chorus and they'll sing it for like 10 minutes. That's
yes. Praise is what I do.
Yes.
That song is 30 minutes.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, I will be there for the whole 30 minutes and then one more, you know, that's where I'm at. But you're talking about Stanky Leg. I know you're not pairing this with the church.
Stanky Leg.
You got
I'm about to break it down. I know when you mentioned Stump, the first time I heard Stump was at the club.
Oh, see. All right.
And everybody was like, this is great. Oh, my people said. And they was, you know, and everybody was out there. And I was like, oh, do they not realize that this is a, okay. All right, I'm going to let that go. So now you ask me about the Stanky Leg. So it's the New Year Stanky Leg cheer. some churches get together for New Year's Eve to bring in New Year's. You know, some churches call it Watch Night, or they may call it different things. But they just want to make sure that everybody's fellowshipping and praising together because we are setting our years together. However, Bishop William Murphy, who is the lead pastor of Dream Center Church of Atlanta, actually made it into the social media spotlight after his church and some of his congregants was actually seen at their New Year's Eve worship experience and swag surfing and walking it out.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Clips from the Sunday night service went viral as the crowd was seen dancing to famous rap songs, Walk It Out and Swag Surfing. The internet was actually divided over this moment, with some in support of the movement and others was calling out the church for doing this, for incorporating rap music in the worship experience. So they did talk to Bishop Murphy about like, hey, what's going on? You know, we saw this, everybody swag surfing and walking it out and this, that, and the other. And Bishop Murphy had said that it was actually an organic moment. That's how he described it. He said this wasn't some manipulated thing that we did trying to go viral. He said this was a prophetic ministry at best that has been misjudged. So he's saying that it was a 30-second clip where these people took it and everybody based judgment off of a 30-second clip. And to understand the full experience, you would need to watch the full service. And another thing that he added is that it is my conviction that when people walk into the church, that it should not be as if they walked into a foreign country, and that the church should have some point of relativity, where when people walk in, they feel like, hey, okay, this does actually have something to do with my life. So since day one, I think he's tried to incorporate a form of comfort so people would come into the church and not feel so out of place. Some people, as Bishop Murphy did or does, incorporate secular songs into the sacred space. They make sure that they use the clean versions, but they bring that in. He also said, like, what's happening in the streets needs to be at the forefront of what we're talking about in the sanctuary, because, you know, we're in this world and we're not of this world. That's what I threw in. Yeah. He made sure to mention, while they included the rap songs into their worship, that it was that clean version, and they wanted to make sure that it wasn't anything in there to just, you know, make somebody stray. And he also shared that the Spirit of God was in the place and the power of God was present, that 150 people at the church during that event said that they got to have this in their life, meaning, you know, the relationship with God, this experience. So there was a miracle that occurred, he said, at the sanctuary. Although social media is focusing on the 30 minutes where people are swag surfing or walking it out, you know, that it's more than that. And actually, the words and the message came from the book of Acts, where they had, like, I like to call it the Holy Ghost praise. That's what I like to call it. I just want to make sure before we, a couple of more things. He also said that I can be Christian and surf. I can be saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost and still walk it out. So people that the naysayers are like, oh my gosh, how can you do that? He is encouraging people to go watch the entire service before they form an opinion about him or anything else that happened that night. And the last thing that he said before we open up our discussion is he wouldn't change a thing. Thoughts?
Well, so I'm going to say this. He is someone that I would be very careful of. And the reason why is because even in what you, and this is just from my experience, what you've read, it's so outside of the experience or the whole purpose. You don't, so people, it shouldn't be, and I think that's where we're getting tripped up. It shouldn't be that they are wanting to have what they already have, because then why come in here and have this if you already have that? I mean, if it's the same thing, they're wanting something different. Okay. The where the confusion is coming in, or the what am I trying to say? We are confusing judging with maybe piety or purity or whatever. When people come in from, let's say, the street or whatever, from the street mindset, they're coming in because they want something different. They don't want that life anymore. Okay? They want something different. So that's why they come in. Okay? What the church is responsible for is to have a safe space for them to come in and not judge them if they still look like the world, if they still sound like the world, if they still walk like the world, right? But you, that doesn't give you, that doesn't mean that you have license to come in and still, and to bring that into the sanctuary. No. Now, you're going to be, until you have that full transformation, you're still going to be, you know, as you were of the world, because you're just coming in. But that doesn't mean that you come in and you still bring in the devilish ways. No, because then why come in? You might as well just stay out. Your whole purpose for coming in is to have something different. So when he says, you know, we want to bring the world into this. See, that right there, that messes me up, because we're supposed to just be in the world, like you said, in the world, not of the world. The church, that sanctuary is supposed to be a sacred space. That means that you're not coming in. This is just my opinion. You're not coming in. I shouldn't want to come in and crip walk when I come in there, because that's the world.
I'm sorry.
You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's the world. Why? And if I still want to do that in the church, then that's something else. You know what I'm saying?
So what if they crip walk into, I don't know. My crip walk. Oh my God, I visualized that.
You know, and then you have these churches where they twerking for the Lord. No, all that is perversion. That's perversion. And they had that going on in you know, in Jesus's time, where they would go into the temple and they had all these, you know, that the temple's supposed to be a holy place, but they had all this worldly stuff going on inside the temple. That doesn't mean that God allowed that. That means the temple was perverted. Just like the church is perverted. Now I understand, you know, and I really do understand, because I used to be a part of this thing every year. In fact, it was the thing that I looked forward to. New Year's Eve, and we would come in as a body, and we would usher in New Year's as a body, and we would actually, you know, we would pray, do a prayer service in, and we would pray for, you know, the things that are going on in the world, because they are very real things that are happening in the world. You know, we would have worship service, you know, maybe a little prophecy or whatever. But to me, that's what that's for. Bringing in, no matter how you clean it up, swag surfing there, and then that's another thing we don't understand. There are real spirits attached to that, the music. What about the music part? Okay, you take the lyrics and you clean them up, but what about the music part? Because there are spirits that are attached to the music part even. So you bring that in thinking that you quote unquote cleaned it up, right? And then you say, okay, well, I had 150 people saved. Well, are they really saved? I don't know. I'm not going to judge. Only God knows that. But I tell you one thing. And I know for sure you cannot take something that is holy and pervert it and expect to get fruit out of it. And I'm not coming against him. I'm just saying he is somebody I would not sit up under. And that's in all realness. I wouldn't, because everything that I've heard that you said that he said is totally against everything that I have learned and have come to know God as. That is pure perversion, and God is not perversion. This is according to my experience. This is just my experience. I couldn't sit up under that at all.
Right. And I know with, you know, me and him, so it's hard because I see mm-hmm. his standpoint where he's probably trying to come from. And I don't know, because, you know, the people here in the world, you know, they're almost said they're a different breed, y'all. The world, please don't come for me. Uh-huh. But you almost have to entice people to come in and then, you know, work on them. I don't want to say, I'm not trying to trick them, but you got to entice them to come in and then do the work. So I had took it, and I'm not for sure that, well, he said something about bringing the world in to get them in, but I'm like, maybe, no, when he mentioned something about the foreign country, because some mm-hmm. people do go to church, you know, when they say, when they mamas or whoever drag them to church and they haven't been to church in forever, they mm-hmm. like, I gotta find a suit, you know. It's like everybody yeah. just falls into place where they think they gotta fall into this, and then mm-hmm. they're going there and they looking miserable, or they mm-hmm. feel scared and they feel nervous. So I think mm-hmm. he was coming from a standpoint of, all right, we just won't make it where they go from hot to cold.
Right.
Let's
right.
just, we'll get them here. We'll let them see that, hey, we know how to have fun, and then I'll give them the word. But like you said, it's really a gamble. I know I shouldn't be talking about church stuff and then say it's a gamble, because some people can see it and they can make the connections and others won't. Sometimes other people will say, just like you said, this is just like the streets. Why should I go in? Or some people will go in and won't go all the way in. Oh, this is fun. This is cool. They do this, this, and this. And they just there for the feeling, right? They're not there for the healing. Ooh. All right. Oh,
listen, Pastor Kelly. Okay.
But I'm with you with this. There's a risk. And there's a lot of preachers out here that like to toe that line. And you got to be careful how you toe that line, because you don't know where people at in their walk and how they feel about their walk. Yeah, it sounds good. We want them to feel good and we're going to bring them in. But not every day feels good, right? And not every day is going to be a walk it out experience. So, you know, how many of those people that came that night that actually are still going? We don't know. I don't know, even know if he knows. But I mean, did that help them? Or did some people say, well, I next time I'll just go to the club? We don't know how that's going to meet them. But some people do risk it. But I think if you're going to go out and attempt to meet the world, to meet them where they're at, to bring them in and to let them see the light and to introduce them to God, so forth, so on, all of that. You got to make sure that you make that clear. It has to be clear. And if you're out here doing this, walk it out and swag surfing, you got to make sure that you're giving a clear message that everybody can understand.
Yeah, it's, you know, these are very crazy times. And I know that I would make the mistake of raising or putting certain people, lifting them up and putting them on a level that, you know, wasn't fair, you know, because at the end of the day, We're all humans, right? But some of these church folks do the most. And I'm talking about specifically Kim Burrell. They just do the most. They do the most. They do the most. Please, please tell our audience what she did.
Oh, so Kim Burrell, she wasn't even on our original agenda, but because of the sanctuary shenanigans that she pulled, she made the list. I mean, she made the cut at the last minute. I told Hermonique, we got to talk about her if we don't talk about anybody else. So the Houston, Texas pastor had to hit someone with the, I'm singing alone now.
The Lord is using me.
The Lord is using her. So, you know, Kim Burrell has been, you know, in the midst of controversy in churches by some of the things she says in church, like for a while now. And I even know some people that know her that say, oh, this ain't the first time. Y'all just now hearing about it. You know, so was she serious or was it in good fun? Right. So she was singing because, you know, she has that beautiful voice, whoa, you know, because she sings beautiful. And so when people sing, you know, people automatically want to sing with you, right? And so she's leading the closing of the sermon, and she begins to sing the hymn, Thank You, Lord. And that's a real popular song within Black churches, right? Because it allows everyone to join in and sing. That's what we do. Somebody starts singing, everybody starts singing. But let me tell you something, Miss Burrell wasn't having that. You wasn't going to come in and start singing. So when this woman in the congregation begins to loudly sing with Burrell, she announced, it's a solo. God is using me. Don't sing with me right now.
Wow.
And let me tell you, she was, don't sing with me right now. But the woman must have been deep in her praise or ignoring it. You know, I don't know, because you can get some of that too, because she kept on singing. Then Burrell got stern. Okay, you're going to mess around and find out. She said again, I'm singing along now, ma'am, with that mask.
Let it use you.
Let that mask work for you.
You have to give it to Kim. She be coming with the sayings now. She going to tell you how it is. But should she tell you how it is?
I don't know. She told a lady she was singing along, and I'll call you when I'm ready.
Wow. See, God, I don't want to talk. I'm not trying to talk about any of your vessels, but some of these people be doing the most. You know. And I don't know what the right protocol or what, but that just, it doesn't seem right. I mean, I get she's singing a solo, and maybe this lady was acting as a distraction. So, I mean, I don't know, but I'm going to be honest with you. Kim just came across as being ugly. And I just don't know if that was the right spirit to have at that moment.
It wasn't. It wasn't. Let that mask work for you.
You know,
sorry.
I think, like, how could she have handled it to let the woman know? But should she have let her know, or should she have just kept on singing and not be concerned with what the lady was doing? And if that lady was that much of a distraction to her, you know, how come, like, I could see if she had, like, if she kept singing, maybe she signaled the, you know, the ushers or whoever, and just kind of say, I mean, I don't even know if she could have done that. You know, have the ushers just tell the lady, okay, you know, this is a time that, you know, for the team, just refrain for right now. Oh no, Kim, it stopped. Sure about Kim Burrell. Just when I think that, because she can sing, can't nobody take that away from her. She can sing, but why does she have to have such a saint attitude? And I'm really not trying to speak about the Lord's vessel, if she is his vessel. It's just, she comes with a lot of,
A lot.
And I don't understand. Like, I remember she did this show. It was like this talent show. And she was talking. It was her. It was Donnie McClurkin. It was Yolanda Adams. And I feel like there was a fourth person, but I know those three were there. And this young man came up to sing. And it was a contest. And they were talking, not Yolanda, but the other two were talking and talking. And so at the end of his audition, he goes, I just need to tell y'all, that was very rude, and people spend their hard-earned money to come. And instead of her listening, she goes, let me just tell you, let me stop you right there. I already made up my mind when you sang the first note that you weren't going to make it. Something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, she was just, oh. Even if she had made up in her mind, then just stop the audition and say thank you and let him go. Don't let him sing the whole thing and you sitting there talking. That is disrespectful.
And jeez.
That's just not the spirit of God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Kim Burrell. You can try to come for me, but you've heard it all before. That is not the spirit of God, acting like that. That's nasty. It's just nasty. And it's like, just when you think, okay, maybe this was just a one-off, then she does something else. It's just, she's just a lot.
She is a lot. She's a heavyweight. And it's like, there's a way to do things, right? Mm-hmm. I think, like you were mentioning or saying, you know, the ushers could have intervened. But here's another thing. It could have been, let's just use I like to say this, use our grown-up mouth and our grown-up words and say, hey, yeah, I'm going to sing the first time by myself, and then I'm going to open it up and I want everybody else to join me, right? You could tell them to come in. Because people are going to want to sing because they are being moved. And you think they're going to let that mask work for you? That is so wrong. You don't know what that lady was praising Kim Burrell. Yeah. You know? And hey, maybe it was a sign that we didn't know about, that they were saying, hey, no extra singing. She's supposed to sing, but my gosh, let the spirit move, right? She said, let the mask work. I wasn't for sure what that meant, but I know, I'm like, come on, Kim, get out of here.
I mean, I'm sorry. I really don't see Jesus acting in that way. I mean, that's just, it just seemed very, and then it seemed more about her performance than it did about God using her, because at that moment, all the focus was taken off of, you know, worshiping God, and it was on what she was saying. So then it became about her. It became about her singing, about what her attitude, about her little saint remark, you know. And now you see she's gone viral, and you know, it seems like she doesn't, not that she should care about what we think, but maybe she should care about if this is truly the spirit of God, you know what I'm saying, if she's exhibiting, you know, the fruit, you know,
right,
the fruit of the spirit. Because I don't know, she's I don't know. I don't know. And I'm trying to be respectful, because, you know, for a lot of reasons. One, just because she has put in, as a professional, she's put in the work. You know, she's a phenomenal singer. But that doesn't give you license to be ugly and nasty and rude to people.
I agree.
Especially God to people. But child, I really could write a book about that, but I don't want to. You know what? Honestly, there was some chuckles, but I felt like I had to get into some people's time course.
Well, you had to talk to them about their sanctuary shenanigans.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, you know what? I almost feel like I need a, like, a, something to, like, like defuse me or decompress, because child, especially this last topic, that's a lot. I don't know. If I had been in that church, I wouldn't have said nothing, because, you know, I don't even gonna say nothing.
I would have been like, what? I would have been like, whoa, thank you, God. She'd be like, let that mask. Yeah. Me and her would be doing around like Isley Brothers and Kelly Price or whoever. Morning in the sunny scene.
Girl, don't have Kimberell and her minion come after you.
I know, because she sure would come. I'm singing now. I'm singing this part. I got this. And I said, and I got you.
Let's see. What did she say? Let the mask. I want to say, yeah, let the mask use you. What did she say? Let that mask work.
Let that mask work.
Yeah, let it work for you. Ooh, that's cold. I mean, that's low down. I ain't going to lie. It's low down.
Yeah, that was. But, you know, those are the shenanigans that we talk about, you know. And I know we, just like you were saying, we chuckle, we have fun. But these are the things that happen in the sanctuary. And I know some people place people that go to church on pedestals, but they are human, right? And so they do make mistakes, you know. Some intentionally make mistakes, like, you know, Miss Burrell telling somebody to let that mask work and basically find a woman from singing before she even got started. And other people may be just unintentional or being themselves, like twerk, you know, with the alleged twerk, and they just could have been playing around, because like you said, that they're friends. But yo, y'all, everybody that's listening, it's sanctuary shenanigans. Yeah. I mean, again, you know, people will be human, people will make mistakes. I mean, it happens. You don't condemn non-churchgoers for their mistakes all the time. So when people make mistakes in church, they do. I know somebody asked me something. Yeah, I'll own it, because I don't look at me, because I'm not the one that's here to save you. So don't look at me. Mm-hmm. Like, you remember they used to say, don't watch me, watch TV.
Right, sorry. Right. You know,
so yeah, this topic has been very exciting. I mean, I know we talked about sanctuary shenanigans, and then I also talked about outside shenanigans, you know, like the pork chops and everything else. So we covered a lot. And if you're listening to the show right here at this part where I just mentioned about the pork chops, then you need to go back and roll it back and listen to the entire podcast.
Absolutely. You know what, Kelly B? Give us a quick recap. Let's say 2 minutes. Can you do it?
In 2 minutes? You know, I go to the church. We don't do things in 2 minutes. You're going to have to grab the mic from me.
Okay, well, I'm going to be ready to grab. Okay, you got it. Go.
All right, perfect. So when we opened up the show, we talked about the dirty D, and I know y'all like, this is sanctuary shenanigans. So whatever D you thinking about, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Detroit, because Irma Monique went to Detroit, and we talked about what happened there, okay? We also gave each and every one of you a disclaimer about us talking about the sanctuary shenanigans. We don't want you coming for us. What we talked about on the show, okay? We talk about things and have fun. We don't need church folks coming for us, and we don't need naysayers coming for us. So just listen. And you know what? If you don't like what we say, go let your friend listen too. We need to build up on our light, so it's a win-win.
That's right.
All right, so the next part that we went through is your sit determines your quit. So we talked about where people sit in the church, and that determines, in some people's eyes, if whether you're not, that you're ready to quit your trifling ways. Some people sit in the front, the alert and energetic people sit in the front, the middle people like me are your average churchgoers. We just there, right? We don't want the front and we don't want the back, and other people that sit in the back, that's Irma Monique and Irma Monique's crew. You know, they just there, you know, they probably easily distracted, or hey, they may have to go potty, right? No. They may have those babies that like to, you know, just distract until the parents stand up and go in the hallway, you know, just wherever you sit. And then we talked about whether you like to sit on the side or if you sit in the middle, and you have to get out of the middle aisle, right? And how many toes do you step on, and is your butt in somebody's face or not? when they trying to get the word. But just like Ermonique said, you give facials, like, right? If you know, hey, make sure your butt is clean. That's what you get out of there. We talking about sanctified. Make sure that butt is sanitary and sanctified. Amen. Speaking of sanctification, we talked about the sanctified punch that happened on TikTok, where the mama was praying and the boy was, I don't know, hip hopping around, and he got his bell rung, i.e. she punched him.
Yes, it is.
She put hands on him, and not the holy hands. She put those other hands and kept on praying, and everybody was snickering under their breath. Amen. Reminded me of that elbow in my side. My side still hurts from thinking about my mama elbowed me. We talked about Kirk allegedly twerking, doing work, what happened on the stage. Some people didn't understand it, right? Yeah, what happened on the stage stays on the stage. That he was bent over. Some people thought he was doing the butt. Other people thought he was having fun. I mean, hey, it's, you know how you perceive it. Is the glass empty or half full, half empty? All right. So while Kirk's up there twerking, we had a New Year's stinky leg cheer at Bishop William Murphy's church. So they was walking it out and swag surfing off the Book of Acts. Some people was split about what happened, but he just want people to feel comfortable. And so he was just bringing the world to them, or, you know, he could have been bringing the church to them, meeting them where they at. We don't know, but we just hope he's doing it in the right way. So then we talked about Kim Burrell. Of course, the Yo Fide, she done fired some woman in the church that was trying to sing along with her. This woman trying to thank God. She telling her to be quiet and let that mask work.
And work.
Wait,
be quiet before Kim fire up on you now.
I know, for real. I mean, so, you know, and Kim had a response about what happened, but, you know, this isn't the first time, last time, and it won't be the last time that Kim says something, but.
He said, wait a minute, wait a minute. I missed my joke on the Detroit one, so I had to put it there.
All right, yeah, we didn't even mention nothing about the Detroit dress, but anyway.
Next time.
Yes, they do. So that will be the next time. And I want to give everybody a glimpse. That's what we talked about on Sanctuary Shenanigans. What's up next when we're meeting? This is the only clue I'm throwing out, Ermonique. I said I'll throw out a short clue.
Okay.
Flies on dew times two.
Oh, God. Okay, don't say nothing else. Thank you, everyone. For joining in, and thank you guys that will join in to listen to the podcast. You can catch it on any major podcast platform: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, Amazon, Pandora. That we're all over the place. Listen, make sure that you like, share with a friend. Make sure that you rate the podcast 5 stars or 10 stars, whatever the highest it is. We want to bring more topics to you. So make sure you email us. Let us know what you want to talk about. We'll talk about it. If Kelly B says we'll talk about it.
We're going to talk about it.
Oh, so there you go. We're going to talk about it. Okay.
That's right.
So Kelly B, as always, please tell the people bye.
Good night, people. Oh, I need to sing thank you, God, but I need to let my mask work.
Let the mask work, yes. Let the mask work, okay?
Peace be still. The mask is working.
Well, thank you guys again, and we'll catch you later.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Anybody Can Get It. Yes, the sister podcast to Natural Soul Conversations. Listen, we are on all your favorite podcast platforms: iHeart, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google. Listen, whatever your favorite podcast platform is, we're probably on it. So make sure you check us out. And also, if there's a way to rate us, make sure that you give us a 5-star rating. We will love to keep pushing out good content. So we need for you to support us with those ratings. And make sure that you like, follow, and share, okay? Because it doesn't help if nobody knows we're out there. So make sure that you follow us and make sure that you share that we're out there giving out this good tea, all right? And listen, until the next time we meet, until the next time we sit down at this table, keep the conversations going.